Take your Bibles, please. Find the book of Proverbs. We'll turn to just two verses. We'll read both of these verses in unison. One's in chapter 1 and one is in chapter 6. I'll give you time to turn there. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 8, please. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Ready? My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Turn to chapter 6, please, and verse number 20. Ready? My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother.
Tonight's sermon will be a bit different, but one that I want you to get. I'm going to lay a bit of a foundation that you need to hear, but it's not going to probably go the direction you might think I'm headed here. We Baptist preachers are pretty good about preaching on separation from the world. We have critics that will say, well, you just preach, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Well, I believe that some of that's true. God uses that term an awful lot in the scripture. But I also believe that I think most of you would agree, scripturally as well as morally speaking, drinking booze is wrong. Illegal drugs are wrong. Abusing prescription drugs is just as wrong. Sodomy is sin. And we could go on and on and on. Now, listen to me very carefully. That's not a hard thing to preach. And we Baptists are good at preaching against rock music, which we should. None of it's any good. There's no such thing as Christian rock. That's like saying you've got a lost amen. It doesn't work that way. We're good about preaching about hating liberalism in every form, and I am not against that. We're good about preaching about enemies of the church, and I'm not talking about some universal invisible church, but people that hate God, people that hate the church, people that hate Christianity. We don't even want to be around them other than to get them the gospel. Now, listen to me very closely here, but I also believe that the key word to the Christian life, other than obey, is balance. I really believe there needs to be a balance. There was a statement many decades ago, you could be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. There are people that think they're so spiritual that they don't know how to relate to anybody down here. But you got some people that are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good too. I believe there's a balance there. Jesus went about speaking to the common man. He wasn't just dealing with the intellectual. He wasn't just dealing with the poor. He met everybody at a common level. Now, we Baptist preachers enjoy these stands. I have no problem with it. And honestly, I don't mind preaching that way, especially in our generation that doesn't hear it much anymore. But I like giving the devil fits. Say, how do you do that? Let's get the gospel out to more people. You want to give the devil a fit? Let's go take the gospel out. You better know we're about to get hit. Hang on, it's coming. Say, what's coming, preacher? I don't know. But when you get the gospel out almost 5,000 times just in 3 weekends, he's not real happy. Now, all that to say this. Separating from the world, yes, we should do it. I often say this to young Christians. Don't worry about separating from the world. You just start obeying the Bible, they'll separate from you. You don't have to worry about taking a hard stand. Just stand for right, and the wrongdoers will flee you eventually. For the most part, that's very true. But tonight, I want to show you 4 times tonight in the scriptures where God uses a statement. He says, forsake not. It's a very interesting statement. Forsake not. The word forsake means depart, relinquish, leave, desert. That's not talking about what you ate after lunch. But it means to leave someone totally desolate. There are people in this room, you have been forsaken. Either by a spouse, you've been forsaken by your children, you've been forsaken by a pastor, you've been forsaken by a friend. Many people in this room have experienced what it means to be forsaken. And it's not enjoyable. It's a big heartache. I know situations where parents will drop their children off with somebody and say, you take care of them, I'll never see you again, and leave. Or children have been dropped off at an orphanage with just a note of what their name was, and on they go. They've been forsaken. And I could go on and on. But God tells us four times in particular, the scriptures that we'll look at tonight, that we're not to forsake certain things. Now let me say this. Being forsaken hurts badly. If you've never had friends forsake you, you don't understand. If you haven't had loved ones forsake you, you don't understand. And by the way, if you haven't had that, I hope you never do. But I've been there. Personally, as well as helping many, many, many people through this. And I want to help you tonight. Number one, Proverbs chapter 1, the Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. I'm going to gear this at everybody tonight, but especially you young people, and especially mamas and daddies with young ones still at home. God says here, don't forsake the law of thy mother, not the law of thy father. You say, preacher, are you getting soft? Not at all. But I do know this, God wants you to listen to your mama. Your mama is just as much the leader as your daddy is. And I'm going to show you here in a second. In 2 Timothy, the Bible says that the wife and the mom is supposed to be the guide of the house. Mamas usually spend more time with the kids. That means while dad's not there, mama rules. And a wise daddy will back mama up. You backtalk mama, it's like backtalking daddy. Matter of fact, it's worse. If you grew up with my dad, it was worse. I remember one time my brother decided to talk back to my mama. He got the back of my dad's hand right across his mouth. You say, he shouldn't have done that. My brother didn't do it ever again. Not one time. You say, well, that's not the way it should be done, Pastor. You can do it how you want, but I really believe that, I was a boy. Now I'm an old man. But I was taught what mama said you did. And if you didn't, she told dad, and he made sure you did what mama said. Usually there was other applications before that, though. You see, dads need to teach children to obey mom. Notice it, God says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. In other words, dads are to instruct the children to obey mom. That means dad shouldn't be down talking mom. Oh, your mom said this, but you don't have to do that. You just shot yourself in the foot and don't know it. But mamas, let me say this, that means you need to follow through with the rules too. Well, I just love them so much. I don't want to. You don't love them that much. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Rules are what make children learn how to love. But that means they're to be taught by dad to obey mom and the rules. Everybody doing okay? Learn to follow, children, what your parents say and use it the rest of your life. I know by the time you become teenagers, you know it all. By the time you get married, you know everything and already have the world figured out. But you hatch that first puppy and wait a couple of years, there's going to be things come out your mouth you never thought you'd ever say because you said, I'll never say that to my children. And you're saying it every day of your life. I promise you. I'd never do that to my kids. Yeah, just hang on a little while. You will. Trust me. You say, why? Because some things are proven to be right. I'm glad my mom and dad worked as a team. You didn't pull one over on mom very often. And if you did and dad found out, it was all over. The words that you feared most. Okay, go ahead. Just wait till your dad comes home. No. That's okay, Mom. Go ahead, beat me. Too late. We'll let Dad take care of that. Push too far that time. You see, God says, don't forsake the law of thy mother. Everybody look at me. I'm 59 years old. I don't have to obey my mommy and my daddy. But I do respect what they taught me. I've taught much of what they taught me to my children. They're teaching it to their children. Many of those things. Life changes. The applications of it change. But the laws are the same. My mom used to say this all the time. I hated it. When we first got married, my mom would look at us and say, children are a mirror of your extremes. Whatever you do occasionally, they're going to do all the time. Whatever you allow once becomes their standard. Be careful. I'll never forget, we told my mom and dad we were expecting Josh. We didn't know it was Josh at the time. But I remember what my dad said. He said, son, you got one shot at it. Better make it count. He said, you'll only have one chance at that one. You better make it count. Whew. Those were sobering words. How many times I thought, nah, I'll never say this. I remember one time one of my kids, I'm not sure which one it was, but they became a little bit too much like their father. And it was one of the boys, and he was climbing up everything. And he ended up climbing up on top of the changing table, and he was going up the side of the door. I mean, he was going at it. And I remember just coming unscrewed on him, just a little shaver. And I thought back to the times my mom said, one of these days. I picked up the phone. I called my mom and said, I'm sorry. She said, which one did what? She knew what that meant. Oh, the times you catch your kids doing the stuff you did. That's why you can look at them and say, I already know what you're thinking. Don't even think that. Say, why? Because I already did it. God says, forsake not. Don't leave what you've been taught. Now, everybody look at me for a second. Not everybody's been taught the right way. Some of the things your parents taught you, maybe because your parents weren't saved and you weren't at the time, are things that you shouldn't teach. Yeah. There's people in this room, your parents taught you how to smoke or drink, chew tobacco. They taught you what not to do. Amen. Yeah, Katie was taught how to spit and chew from her father. Now, wait a second. Maybe we ought to look back at some of the things we were taught, some by good example and some not by such good example. There were some teachers I had in college I didn't particularly care for. And honestly, the only thing I learned from them is how not to teach. Amen. Had just a few of those, but a couple of those, the only thing they taught me is that's what I don't want to be. Yeah. You say, why, preacher? Because I learned from them. There are some things you learned growing up, it didn't work so well. You know, the term, watch this, y'all. Most time that doesn't end up real good. Amen? The evil Knievel jumps that didn't land right on your bike. the things that we tried to jump that we shouldn't have jumped. Playing football in the snow and no shoulder pads or helmets, and going downstairs and finding all the rags you can and shoving them in your shirt so they didn't hurt quite so bad. It didn't do anything but make the shirts dirty, amen? But we thought it did. And God bless this sissy generation. We never had helmets when we rode our bikes. If you did, you had a serious jump you were doing. It was a football helmet you had on. And that's if you were lucky, all right? That was the only time. And we sure weren't going to wear elbow guards and shin guards and knee guards and feet guards. And good grief, how in the world do you pedal a bike? How do you fall off of it and not kill yourself? You say, how'd you learn to ride a bike? On a gravel road. Yep. My dad pushed me down that hill. I don't know how many times I skinned myself up. You say, why'd he keep doing it? Because he figured if I skinned myself up enough, I don't want to get skinned. I'm going to keep that thing up. And it worked. Forsake not. Don't leave what you've been taught. Young people, don't leave what you've been taught by your parents. Don't leave what you've been taught by your Sunday school teachers and your pastor. Don't leave what that book says. Long after I'm dead and gone, hopefully that's a long time away, but long after I'm gone, there's teaching that you'll have that you could look back at and say, glad I got that. Glad I got that. So God says, forsake not the law of thy mother. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I want you to notice something else God says. Look at verse number 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good what?
Doctrine.
Forsake ye not my law. Folks, doctrine means Bible. God says, don't forsake the Bible. Let me say this to you as cautiously as I know how. Make sure you only have a diet of good doctrine, not bad doctrine. Don't listen to watered down doctrine. Don't read or listen to bad doctrine. That means don't read somebody that's using wrong versions.
Amen.
Say, well, I'll just look it up in the real Bible and I'll get the truth from it. That's like saying you're going to go to Outback this evening after church for dinner and you're going to go to the dumpster and dig through it and find all the good food left in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you find some good food in there to eat? Yeah, you probably could get enough to make yourself full. But do you really want to? You want to risk it? Why do you want to dig through the garbage of bad doctrine to find something you think could be good? That means this. Only listen to people that believe the right Bible. Make sure they're preaching it the right way. It must fall in line with Scripture itself. That means this. That means you need to learn it too. You ought to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church, learning from the Bible, and you ought to read your Bible every day. You ought to be learning things on your own. Must make a statement here. Any of you young people going to go to Bible college? You're not going to Bible college to learn the Bible. You're going there to learn how to serve in a church. Somebody that has character will learn the Bible on their own. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a preacher boy that wouldn't learn the Bible on his own. You think you're going to go to college and learn the whole Bible in 4 years? You're dumber than Gomer Pyle. You better be learning it now. You better know it now. I was glad when I got to Bible college, I knew some Bible. I was able to sit in class and say, I already knew that. Everybody's like, oh, I never heard that before. Well, it's in the Bible. I'm glad my pastor said, don't read any other books, just the Bible, till you know what God says. Don't read what somebody else says the Bible says till you know what God says. I believe a young person ought to saturate their life in the Word of God. Learning good doctrine. You need to read the Bible. You need to study the Bible. You need to listen to the Bible. I mean, just consume your life with good doctrine. Next, we need to be careful of those who have changed doctrine. I hate to say this, but there's people that have been around long enough. Somebody that used to be right might not be preaching right now. Just because they were right 20 years ago doesn't mean they're still right. I'm going to say that. You say, why, preacher? Because there's a lot of people I knew from 40 years ago and 30 years ago and 20 years ago and 10 years ago. They're not even on the same road we're on. This is where I'm different. I don't ask you to do this. But anytime somebody leaves the road of right and goes the road of wrong, I take all the materials I have from them and throw it away because I don't know where along the road they left. Amen. I don't know where along the road they started veering off. So rather than keep it around, I just get rid of it. You say, why? Because I got the source right there. Who cares? I know I'm radical in that. I'm not asking you to be that way, but I will tell you this. That's why they don't affect me or infect me. That's why they don't bother me. That's why there's a lot of people that used to teach me that don't want me anymore, and I don't care. They changed, I didn't. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not their enemy, but I'm not changing. You see, when people start veering off with music, dress, standards, church doctrine. We believe the Bible is inspired and infallible, but we'll teach it from a historical point of view. Okay, you're getting two things mixed up there. Now you're going the way of the Alexandrians in following bad doctrine. That's not a history book. Amen. Can I tell you what teaching the Bible from a historical point of view is? Hint, hint, that leans towards Calvinism. Dispensations, time periods. God only did this in this time period, but it's not the same in this time period. The only difference is this. God spoke verbally and in dreams and visions before we had all the words of God. Once we had all the words of God, that stopped, and it's our responsibility right there. Yes, sir. The only difference in time. The only difference. Salvation has been the same Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, they looked ahead at what Jesus would do. New Testament, we look back at what Jesus did do. That's the only difference. By faith, Adam. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. That was long before what you call the law. How did those people get saved then? That's Calvinism. Be careful. I think some pastors need to go through their church constitutions and statements of faith and fix them. They don't realize what they're saying. Number three, I better hurry up. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're not supposed to forsake the Bible. We're not supposed to forsake the law of our mother and what we've been taught. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling, that word there is the word churching, ecclesiing, of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That means this: we're not supposed to forsake attending church. Right. Folks, we live in a day and an age where we live in a very unchurched culture. Right. We live in a day and age where people going to church is something that is very new to a whole generation. You knock on enough doors today, you're going to find people in America who grew up here, who were born here, that do not even know who Jesus Christ is. That's right. And that is sad. Our forefathers, by the way, with the rewriting of history, people will tell you that they were God-hating and vulgar people. Then pray tell me why in Philadelphia they got on their knees and prayed for hours before making government decisions. Well, Ben Franklin was an infidel. Have you ever read Ben Franklin's own words? Well, Thomas Jefferson, he believed in reincarnation. Show me that in his own words. Thomas Jefferson had a Bible in every room that he would ever be in so that he could read the Word of God when he had a moment. Well, what about the Jefferson Bible? It has notes in there. Did you realize that the Jefferson Bible was, the notes in the Jefferson Bible were done after he died? They weren't written by him. Everybody doing okay? Read Jefferson's own words. Let's say they were lost. They still had a respect for God that lost people don't have today. Even if they were not Christians, people had a respect for God. Even in my generation, my wife and I were back in Ohio for about 24 hours or so. Not even that. And everywhere you go, there's a Catholic church. You know, St. Isidore the Less and St. Michael's the More. And there's St. everything on every corner. My wife, I said, there's a Catholic church everywhere here. I said, you got so many Dagos and Polacks, they don't know the difference, all right? And but even then, when I grew up, you even respected the Catholic church as far as the property goes. Not what they taught, but you didn't go around busting out windows, and you did put tracks on the Mother Mary out front, but at least one of us did. but yeah, she needed it anyway, amen. But you didn't have people like this idiot in Texas, this guy trying to run for Senate that believes that the Bible teaches abortion. Yeah. Believes that the Bible says that we should take illegals in and hide them in our churches. Well, folks, number one, he's not even quoting the right Bible. Number two, the Bible says it's of no private interpretation. That's his interpretation of it, not God's. Don't get so wound up. He's an idiot. He's just opening his mouth and proving it. But I believe that we live in an unchurched society. Those of you that come tonight to church, your neighbors are wondering, man, they're radicals. They go to church Sunday night too. Bad enough you go Sunday morning, but Sunday night too. Yeah, stick around for Wednesday night. Here we go. The last time I went home and had a kidney stone, and Brother Arcola had to preach and thought I was kidding. Then I found out I had seven of them. But I got home and my neighbor was out. He said, "Aren't you supposed to be at church?" I said, "Yes, sir, I was. I'm supposed to be preaching just about now, but I said, I've got kidney stone." He said, "Oh, brother." He said, "I knew something bad was wrong because you're never here at this time." You say, "What is it?" My neighbors pay attention. So do yours. America used to have what they call blue laws. Stores weren't open on Sunday. Shoot, when I was a kid, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, Dad would load us all up in the car, and we'd go fill the car with gas. Go up by Clarkin's and go to the gas, and he'd say, "Fill her up." He'd hand him a $5 bill, filled up the car. The guy washed the windows and everything else and still got change back. Had that cool little thing on his side that had to change in, you know, ding, 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 ding. I remember those days. And I'd say, "Dad, why do we have to go tonight?" Because there's no gas stations open tomorrow or Monday morning till I got to go to work. You didn't go grocery shopping on Sundays. None of the stores were open. You were doing good to find a restaurant open on Sunday in some places. And they finally started easing that up, and then the floodgates happened. Now it's just another day. But The old blue laws, you couldn't get liquor. There was no bars open on Sunday. Yeah, we need to get back to closing them all down. Notice the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We live in that as the manner of some is today. I know Christians, well, I'm saved. I don't need to go to church to pray. No, you don't. But you'll learn how to pray better if you do go to church. You'll get closer to God if you do. You say, why? Because we have a real adversary, the devil, and he's out to destroy. We're now having churches change to casual. Do you know what the root word of casualty is? Casual. I still believe we ought to give our best when we come to church. Say why? This is God's house. If your best is clean t-shirt and clean jeans, have at it. I don't have a problem with that. But I still believe we ought to do our best, give our best. It's not supposed to be just kind of come as you are. It's not the living room or the washroom or whatever they call themselves, the dish rag. Good night. You watch all of these casual churches and then they get the wild music. Then it becomes a rock and roll show. Then it becomes just a meeting place for everybody to socialize. And it just keeps going farther and farther and farther and farther away from that book. Number four. I'll finish. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. I really want you to listen to me on this point tonight. Proverbs chapter 27, look at verse number 10 with me. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. I want you to notice the first part of that verse especially. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. That means this, you ought to be a friend to your friends. But by being a friend to your friends, that doesn't mean if they do wrong, you do wrong with them. Because if you do wrong with them, you have forsaken them. I had a friend call me this week. He's done wrong. He wanted sympathy. I gave him a little kick in the seat. Kindly, but I gave him a kick in the seat. I said, well, you have to understand, there's, with the decisions you've made, there's circumstances that happen because of that. There's penalties to pay because of your decisions. And don't expect people to just laud you because you think that that they should agree with you. I was his friend. Matter of fact, when he called me, he said, I just need to hear a friendly voice. I didn't agree with him. But I was still his friend. I still told him the truth. Everybody doing okay? I'm not going to follow his example, but I'll be there as his friend. At a distance, but his friend. We're not supposed to forsake not only our friends, watch this, but our parents' friends, our father's friend. That means the generation before us. That means we ought to go back and listen to some of the old folks. Young people, you'd be very wise listening to the people with gray hair. Or no hair. Amen, Brother Myers? Brother Steve? Say, why, preacher? God gives wisdom to those that have lived a while. Amen, Brother Jim? I say it this way. There's not too many preachers out there still going at my age anymore that are still going right. There's fewer and fewer of them. Yes, sir. My wife and I were just talking this week on our trip. I said, it's a shame. I said, Brother Fugit's only about 2 years older than I, and there's not many preachers older than us out there that are still preaching the right way.
That's right.
Not many. I said, I have a ton of younger preachers that call me. Can I tell you why? I've turned into the old man. They always say, I'm so glad I've got somebody with so much wisdom. I say, it's a nice way of calling me old. Just cut through it, all right? I know how this works. Well, you just have so much experience. That means you're about to get loaded with the worst question you ever heard. Yeah. New doesn't mean best. Right. Especially when it comes to friendship. New doesn't mean best. And especially when it comes to the way society is changing things. Can I tell you why about 10 years ago or less they were trying to get rid of all the Civil War statues? We're seeing now they want to start another Civil War. And I said when they started, they want to be the oppressors now, not the oppressed. Not everything in history is good. I will agree with you. But listen to me, some of the, what you learn from history is so that you don't repeat the wrong.
Amen.
And I don't follow women's sports at all. I just happened to catch one news article today, and there's some female basketball player that's always getting hacked and stuff, and some black girl about ripped her head off in a game last night and got thrown out of the game. Now she's claiming she did it because of white privilege. May I say something? That's called stupidity. You don't blame somebody's color because you fouled out. That's dumb. That's about as stupid as you could get. And yet you're seeing our country divided by race once again. I'm not a racist. You're made out of dirt. I'm made out of dirt. Some have lighter dirt. Some have darker dirt. But dirt's still dirt.
Amen.
Who cares what color the pile of dirt is? It's just dirt. But may I say this? We've turned race into something it should not be. Did you know you didn't pick your race? Just like you don't pick your own gender? Folks, you have nothing to do with what color your skin is. Unless you're Caucasian like we are and we spend too much time in the sun, you can change it a little bit. I had a black deacon in South Carolina. He said, Brother Bush, don't call black folk colored. He said, we're not colored, we're black. He said, you white folks, you're colored. Okay, Brother Benny, what you mean? He said, when you're cold, you turn blue. When you're hot, you turn red. When you're sick, you turn green. And you want to call me colored? Got a point there. Now, wait a second. I don't care what color skin somebody is. That doesn't mean anything. Nor does it give anybody the right. Well, we need to have reparations for every black person. We need to pay them millions of dollars because of slavery. Did you know that every black person is not a descendant of a slave? Did you know that every black person in America, even 150 years ago, was not a slave?
Amen.
Did you know back in the 1850s and 1860s that black people owned slaves? But we have this mentality that's been taught to break down that racial barrier. They're actually building it up higher, not breaking it down. They're building the walls bigger, not breaking it down. Boy, that's good stuff. God says, don't forsake thy friend. Don't forsake thy father's friend. I'm glad when I get around an older preacher. I try to love on them. I try to encourage them. But I also take these young bucks under wing, and they encourage me. You see, man is so inflated with himself that we think the Bible was Stone Age people, which there is no such thing. Did you know in Bible days they had multi-story buildings? They had running water. They had sewer systems. They had roads that they could get from point A to point B on, from country to country to country to country. Yeah. Matter of fact, they had the ability to map. And they could follow the stars. They could follow the maps. They could do all of that. And they didn't have a GPS. They had the ability to sail and navigate and get from point A to point B and know exactly which place they were at. All of those places had names that we still use today. I could take you back into Moses' day, and the Egyptians that we know for sure had electricity. Folks, we're not as far along as we think we are. We're too enamored with ourselves. Let's not forsake our friends. Let's be friends to our friends. Even sometimes when we disagree with them, did you know you could disagree with a friend and still be their friend? I mean, I disagree with Scott all the time, but he's still my friend. Let's face it. Sometimes you don't even agree with yourself. So just because you disagree with somebody doesn't mean you can't be friendly. You just learn what not to talk about. That's called being friendly. Follow me around to the businesses that I use and recommend to. If you come to me and say, look, preacher, I need somebody that can help me here. Call this person, use my name. Say, why do you say that, preacher? Because I built a good reputation with them and I'm friendly with them. Right. Are they all saved? No. But they don't have to be saved to work on your car or fix your this or fix your that. They're decent people. Now, I've gotten the gospel to them. Doesn't mean they got saved. You see what I'm saying? I don't have to agree with everything they say or do. They might even not live right. But you can still be friendly with them. That doesn't mean we're going to dinner next week with them. But I can be friendly. I'm to be friends with my parents' friends. Now, we're getting to the age where he doesn't have many of them left because they're all his age and older, or they went on before. But I thank God, even some of my dad's friends, to this day, I still keep in contact with. My dad's best friend, he's known since he was 2 years old. They've been friends for 85 years. Not too long ago, I talked to Rich and Alice. Say why? Because they're my dad's friends. I haven't seen them in years. Talk to them occasionally. But I'd still like to be my father's friends. I'd like to be the previous generation's friends. Brother Jim's my friend. Shoot, he knew Noah when he got off the ark. Just about, amen. 93 or 94? Are you 94 or 93? Yeah. No, you don't. He's 94, I believe. I thought so. Good night. You ask Brother Jim. I'm his friend. He's my friend. Amen. Say, why? He's got a lot to teach me. You young people, you don't know as much as you think you do. Brother Jim's forgotten more than you've learned. You need to get what you can. There's a lot of things going aside. There's a lot of trades that are going to waste because nobody's doing them anymore. I read old preachers. I follow old preachers. Many of them are dead and gone, but I still listen to as many of their sermons that I can. I had a preacher come through one time and he said, look, you need to come to my conference. I said, why? He said, you need good preaching. I said, I get it three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because I'm preaching. He said, no, you need to listen to it. I took him to my office. I had a box full of cassette tapes. That's the way I live, not you. And I said, here's the tapes I listen to. Here's the preachers I listen to. They got me to where I'm at. They're going to take me the rest of the way. And I still listen to those preachers. And I haven't been to his conference. You say, why? I don't need a conference of the month club. I just need to follow what the old fellas taught us and teach the same things to you. Because that's what will get us. Forsake not. Don't forsake it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Let's not forsake the law of the mother. Let's not forsake the Bible. Let's not forsake the old generation. And let's not forsake attending church. God tells us four things not to forsake. Let's not be guilty of being someone who forsakes.